There. Hello, everyone. This is Renee Rentmeester. I'm the creator and executive producer of the Cooking Without Looking TV show and podcast. And today we have some special guests for you. But before we start, I just want to remind you that this podcast is sponsored by Blind United Interest Groups of California. Building bridges, closing the gap, making connections, and we're changing the way we see blindness. Today, we have a young blind couple from Boston, and it's Mark Cadigan and Tanya Milojevic. How did I do, Tanya?
Perfect.
So you guys tell us a little bit. I mean, you can do one at a time, talk about your blindness journey and then how you got together.
Well, I've been blind since birth. So I can talk about myself, not time to talk about herself here. I've been blind since birth. I've had a little bit of vision, but, nothing particularly useful. And I've, always enjoyed food, and food doesn't cook itself, so I learned how to cook. Tanya and I, we like to cook together every day. Like this morning, we made breakfast together. We made scrambled eggs with green peppers and jalapenos.
Wow, that sounds good.
Yeah, it was good. We made that with some bacon and a cash brown patty for breakfast. Air fryer does a nice job of making hash brown patties nice and crispy, and it was delicious Friday morning breakfast.
Oh man, that sounds great. And Tanya, what about you? A little bit about your blindness journey so that people, sort of understand more.
Yeah. So I was born premature. I'm originally from Serbia. So I had some surgeries back there in Serbia. And because the medical treatments aren't quite on the same par, at least not in the 80s as here, my mom pushed really hard to get me here to the US because pretty much what happened was the incubator detached my retina and I developed retinopathy of prematurity. I was about 7 months and came here to the U.S. at about a year old or so. Then I had several surgeries and I was lucky enough to have some vision restored by reattaching the retina. So that went on for a couple of years. And then I developed glaucoma at the age of 5. So because of the need for further medical treatment and check-ins, we settled in the U.S. and I was able to attend public school from there on and get all the services I needed. So I'm a Braille reader. I used large print as well at the time. But since then, from high school and beyond, my vision deteriorated further to the point where now I rely solely on Braille as well as screen reading technology and iPhone and so forth, smart speakers and all that fun stuff. And yeah, I've also grown up like with Serbian food. I like the kind of less sweet stuff, if you will. I don't like the whole confectioners, I guess. Very heavily sweet, heavily rich, greasy food. So I wanted to learn, how to make my own food, especially in college, and kind of control what I was eating, putting into my body. And my family and I, we've always cooked. We really prefer to do that at home rather than going to restaurants that you just don't know what you're getting until you try the food. And of course, we've discovered great restaurants. And then in terms of how Mark and I met, we actually were headed to work on the ride, the paratransit program at the time, and went from we were both coming from different areas and going to different areas, but it's a pretty much a carpool kind of service where it takes multiple people in the same direction, drops them off. So we started chatting then and then kind of stayed in touch.
Wow. So how long have you guys been together?
We've been together 5 years now. Yes.
Ah, that's great. That's great. And you know what? I guess the people out there would be wondering, what is it like to be part of a couple where both are blind? Sometimes it's tough enough when you have sight. So when you're both blind, how does that work out?
Well, as a couple, you have all the standard couple things. Being blind doesn't change the good and bad of being a couple. And, you know, we are both used to being blind, having been blind, you know, in my case, my whole life, and for Tanya's case, as long as she can remember, and have adapted to do our, you know, daily activities, you know, without vision. So we...
Yeah, we're always finding new ways to adapt to different situations. And we try to have, you know, to acknowledge when we need assistance with something, and both have resources to bring to the table to get that assistance. So I guess in a way it's like, yes, we're both blind, but we're both extremely resourceful with not burning people out, because the reality is you do need to get help with a lot of things. And it's frustrating sometimes. It's especially when you're an independent person and you're like, well, I don't want to keep bothering people and asking for help, but you find some amazing people and make friends along the way. And it's good to have different people to help you with different things. So you're not asking one person to do everything. Both of us bring different people to the table in that regard. And it's communication. I think that's the one thing we've really learned. And as someone who is blind, I mean, I can say that my general attention to detail and planning is important, as is communication. But that, I don't know how much of that is my personality and how much of it is the fact that I need to do it to adapt my own life, because I'm a very organized person and attention to detail.
My opinion is it's definitely your personality, and it certainly doesn't hurt your adaptation. You know, Tanya, I call her totally tidy Tanya because she's the organized one of the operation here. you know, Tanya is very good at planning, organization, and that whole realm, which as a blind couple, you know, having a plan, work, you know, planning the plan and then working the plan is definitely a way to get things done effectively and efficiently.
Yeah, we have backup plans all the time.
Oh, wow. And now, tell me a little bit about, do you have a funny story, first of all, and then we'll get into Get Braille. Do you guys have any funny kind of story that you wanted to tell us?
Yeah. So, you know, one time when we were making skewers on the grill, we got these new skewers. Well, we have skewers that the ends don't melt, because they're metal, and we got skewers that, for whatever reason, the ends of them weren't metal all the way through. They had plastic on them, and we ended up melting them to the grill while we were making these skewers. And, well, we never used those skewers again. We threw them out, and we got more of the good kind that don't melt.
Yeah, getting the plastic off of the grill was a challenge. And my mom was actually there, so it was like one of those things where you're like, horrible thing happens and there's a sighted person right there to see the whole thing and be like horrified, which she was. She was like, oh no, it's melting. Oh, it was pretty funny.
You just put a little cheese or sauce on it, right? It tastes just fine, right?
Oh, well, exactly. It makes it stick to... No, I'm just kidding.
Fortunately, it was just the ends of the skewers were plastic. I don't know who came up with the bright idea to put plastic on skewers that were meant for the barbecue grill, but the shaft was transitioned to metal, you know, and so where the food was at. So,
yep, I moved it too close to the burner, and that was that.
Yikes. Well, you guys, tell me about the company you started, Get Braille. Tell us all how you started that and how you thought about it.
Yeah. So, Tanya worked at the Perkins School for the Blind as their Braille production specialist on campus for a little over 7 years. And myself, I have a background in business, mostly doing software sales as well as records management sales. And so we kind of combined our talents to start this company, recognizing that there's a need for affordable accessibility solutions. You know, our theory is that if businesses and nonprofits can afford to make things accessible, they will do so. And one of the greatest reasons for, you know, places, you know, such as museums and the like, not having this accessible content is because they can't afford to do it. So if we can earn a couple dollars in the process and make this material affordable for them to be able to justify that expenditure, you know, they can make it accessible for others, you know, others in a similar situation to us, and we can earn a living at the same time. So that's really, really our theory.
Yeah, we want to ensure security for ourselves and do what we know and love. And as consumers of various services, accessibility in general, we want to give back. I've started out when I first came to the US just being kind of a translator for my family. And then eventually that turned into working at the library and doing Braille production. And I also really enjoyed kind of giving back to people that didn't have the resources or just needed assistance or needed a sympathetic party to listen to. And it makes sense to kind of go into this field because I personally have experienced testing websites and apps and providing helpful feedback without, like, the goal here really isn't to gouge anyone. We just want to be a helpful resource where questions can be answered. And if someone just needs resources, we're happy to just provide the resources to help them out. So yeah, it's an exciting place to be. I mean, as we know, the job market is changing. Technology is heading toward the metaverse inevitably. And we have no idea what accessibility is going to look like for that platform. We don't know how things will adapt and what software employers will use, cloud-based or otherwise, and whether or not those are going to be accessible. So in taking the power back and not wallowing in indecision or lack of confidence with jobs, we decided to start our own company and we're having a lot of fun. We've been around for about a year now.
Yeah. Before this call, I was downstairs working the guillotine cutter, chopping apart a bunch of, they're called embossables. It's this plastic that you can emboss on and then peel it and stick it onto whatever you need to add Braille to. In this case, it is a bunch of business cards for a conference. So, you know, Tanya, being the Braille production specialist here and the Braille expert, ran them on, you know, produced the Braille, formatted the Braille, ran them so that there is, you know, 10 copies of this business card per sheet. And I was cutting them apart while Tanya was in the studio recording for a audiobook that she's narrating. So, you know, we're quite busy.
Wow. Yeah, we've been busy.
I can imagine. So tell me a little bit of how do you produce those cards? You've gotten into a little bit about it, but that's just so interesting because, you know, as we know, Braille, you know, the little dots on there. That is just amazing. Tell us how you do it.
So generally, we understand that the traditional process of producing these Braille business cards is it has many steps and it's pretty expensive. And also, there's no way for customers to decide how they want the layout to look, the font, whether or not it has a QR code, how much info is on it. So we thought it would be a lot better in many ways. Not only is it more durable because the Braille does not get pushed back into the malleable cardstock by placing it in your wallet or your pocket, it holds up a lot better over time. And this plastic is clear. It doesn't have any cloudiness to it, so you can read the print under it. And the idea is that customers can order their own cards, put whatever they want on there. And then because of the limited space that Braille can fit on, Braille's takes up a lot more space than print, obviously. So we can fit 14 cells across, 5 lines down at the most. And that allows us probably to fit someone's name/email and phone number. Or if their email has their name, we'll leave it as such and put their job title, email, and phone number. Usually those are the most important things that people want on their cards. And we're able to work with them to make sure that they're happy with what they're getting. And then, of course, it's important to know, are the cards square, cornered, or rounded? Because that takes a cell away from the top and bottom line of the sticker. And so this makes it a lot easier. We just create these stickers, send it to the client, and then they adhere it to their own cards that they already have. They don't have to buy them or go back and forth as much. And these can also be used on birthday cards. They can be cut to size for anything, really. We have a client now that's wedding invitations, conference materials, or maybe indoor signage. We've done it for museums before as well, where it's placed onto a thick cardboard or thick foam core backing, and it can have large print and Braille, so it can be wiped off. So there's so many uses for that, and that's just one product. Obviously, we can do jumbo Braille, which is a larger cell. It's spaced apart. Many vendors don't offer it, but it's simple enough to create, and it's easier for folks with neuropathy or young kids who are just starting to learn Braille to be able to track the Braille and read the cells easier because they're taller and there's more space between the dots.
So these cards, so this is interesting because people, as you say, it's sort of expensive to do it the old fashioned way. And this, you can just take strips of it and put it on a card that you have automatically or that you have already. Is that what you're saying as well?
Yeah,
correct. So you can order your cards from any, print house that you have locally to you. And you can work with the print production people to have your design, to your specifications. And then you can take these stickers and apply them to either all of them or some subset of your, printed business cards so that, if you're at a conference and there are people that are, if you're at the NFB and ACB conferences are coming up. So, people who are going there as vendors may, in this case, want to hand out print business cards to people who have some usable vision and Braille ones to their business, to their Braille readers. So that they don't have to have the expense of producing all their cards in Braille. They can be selective and save a couple nibbles by using Braille only when needed. And that's not the only thing we do. We are doing a bunch of handouts for conference material. We're doing conference agendas for other conferences for other organizations.
We're doing rudimentary tactile graphics as well of different animals and kind of as proof of concepts. And we're going to be soon improving our technology to be able to do a lot more detailed graphics and have the ability to produce overlays like thermoform overlays, which is a plastic clear sheet that has a graphic on it you can feel, and it's placed over a full color picture so that both someone who's visually impaired and someone sighted can together enjoy the picture.
Because we're in negotiations with a couple of zoos and aquariums across the country to produce accessible guidebooks for them. And what these are books that contain the same text as the exhibit plaques going around the facility, will be at a museum, zoo, aquarium. And it has the large print, the Braille. And then we're trying to add to it now. We did one job for an aquarium, or simply just large print and Braille. But for the next one going forward, we want to do large print Braille and a tactile and high resolution image of the animal or creature in the exhibit. So we are doing a proof of concept where we have a giraffe, a zebra, a penguin, et cetera, where we've made them as tactile graphics, and we sent to the we sent out 20 of them, and I have another 12 or so I gotta get out the door. But anyways, Tanya helped produce the Braille on them and bind them, and I've been helping print the print and collating, and it's been some teamwork here. And we are gonna get these out the door to all these facilities that I've made contact with online and that have expressed interest in increased accessibility, so that when school groups come in that have a blind child in the school group, or if a family with a blind parent or a blind child comes into the facility, they can have equal enjoyment and equal educational value in the museum, zoo, aquarium, et cetera. In addition to this, and to loop in Tanya's skills with audio and as a voice talent, we're going to start doing immersive audio description as well, where we'll go to the zoo with me, Tanya, and a sighted assistant, and Tanya will work on getting recordings of the animals, the animals walking and the sounds they make, as it, like the chirps of the penguins and the or the footfalls of an elephant, and mix that into the description to add texture and context, so it's not just dry narration.
We're currently producing an immersive audio description example of someone on a rocky beach and seeing a seagull dive into the water and get a fish, and the balance of nature to life. So that'll be kind of a proof of concept for potential clients to get the conversation started. And that kind of goes along with consulting work that we'd like to offer. So anything to museums for touch tours, how to do that. And then even trainings in the future for restaurants of how to work with someone who's visually impaired or has a disability to help them, or how to offer assistance and what they may or may not need assistance with, those kind of things. And then speaking of restaurants, what sets us apart from a lot of vendors is that we produce Braille and large print menus for restaurants, because we feel that these accessible menus are going to target a wider audience than just Braille with those who know Braille. This way, someone who's older or who's having a hard time reading the glossy pages of the regular menu can use the large print to more easily skim through.
Especially with elderly people and the low lighting conditions present in most restaurants, with age-related vision loss, they may struggle to see the existing menu. And this larger print menu on on matte finished paper is a lot easier for them to read. So we feel as if that could, if they knew that was an option and could read that easier, that would add a lot more, users for our accessible menus, therefore allowing us to justify the cost of production and them, getting new copies as their menus change.
Yeah, it's really all about universal design. It helps everyone, and that's where we're coming from with our intentions of with these products. Serve as many people as possible.
You're bringing everyone to the table, so to speak, and leaving no one out. I know the popular term is inclusion, but I'm like, I try to be really simple about it so that people feel comfortable. And I just say, you know what? Just bring everyone to the table. We're all here in it together, and there should be no one left out ever for any reason.
Correct.
There's a skewer for everyone.
That's right. And speaking of skewers, come on, guys, tell us all about your recipe.
We love grilling.
It's great. This recipe's great. Tanya came up with it. We love grilling, as Tanya just said, and Tanya is the master of making skewers on the grill. Thank you for all the delicious dinners there that you made on the grill there, Tanya. I tend to be the burgers and dogs and steaks and chicken guy, and that's what I do on the grill. But Tanya, her talent is these skewers.
I've always liked pickled things. My mom and aunt, growing up, they would pickle cauliflower and pepper. Like, they put pepper in jars and put some garlic. And I love garlic a lot. And spice, like, I guess recently I've started eating more spicy food. It's really good. So I like Cajun spice and all that. So one thing that I discovered with peppers, obviously, that I like a lot is when they're sitting in vinegar for a while and they soak up that flavor, and then you add some spice to it, or you can just leave for example, the balsamic vinegar. I tried different iterations of this just to see what I like the most, white vinegar with olive oil. I've tried honey with vinegar, and then I tried balsamic vinegar. And we have this barbecue rub. It's maple barbecue from McCormack. It's a blend.
Wow.
And it's really good. You put it into with the peppers, and they have to be bell peppers, because we have a garden in the summer. We tried banana peppers, and it's not really the same. It's not quite the same.
Our garden produces literally hundreds of banana peppers. They grow like weeds in our gardens.
Tanya, wow, that's neat to know. I didn't know that.
I don't know what Tanya does to the garden, but she makes.
It's my aunt with her green thumb. She comes blesses the garden.
It's your green thumb, Tanya. You're the one blessing the garden, making it produce all this stuff. It's one of your amazing talents. In addition to calling Tanya totally tidy Tanya, I also call her totally talented Tanya too.
Yeah.
Well, you guys want to share the recipe?
Yeah. So you soak the bell peppers, red bell peppers. You cut them about an inch across, or maybe an inch and a half. And you put them in a bowl. You add balsamic vinegar, and do this a couple hours before you make the skewers, because you want them to stay in the vinegar and soak it up. And every, 20, 30 minutes, just stir it around so that all of it gets coated evenly. You don't have to worry about olive oil. And then you can take like chicken breast, boneless, skinless, cut it apart into about 1-inch pieces, and then add some olive oil and Cajun spice, because we add a little bit of spice to ours, but you can, you know, you can skip it if you don't like spicy food. And
we also add a little bit of the McCormick's barbecue rub into mm-hmm. the chicken, along with the Cajun spice, to add a little bit of variety, so it's not just plain heat. It adds a little bit of
flavor,
different flavor too.
Oh, nice. Yeah, sounds amazing.
Yeah, so you mix all that up and then cut up some pineapple again into about 1-inch pieces. And then the other thing you can do is cut some onion. So you cut it in half and then you pull off the pieces carefully, because you want the onion to be intact as much as possible. You cut it into maybe 2-inch slices that are round, so you can stick them onto the skewer. And then that's pretty much it for prepping it. Then when you're making the skewers, usually what I do is put like the pepper first. I layer it in exactly the same pattern, just because of the way that it fuses together the flavors. So I put the red pepper.
You are organized.
Yeah. I'm like specific. So you put like the pepper, the onion, and then chicken, a piece of chicken. Then you put onion around the chicken. It has to be encased in chicken, because it really fuses into when the juices come out, it kind of fuses into the chicken even more. It's really good. And then you can put a piece of pineapple, and then again, pepper. But the pepper part that's not the skin, but the other part, should be facing where the onion is, not the other way around, because it won't soak in as well. And you can obviously change the way that you're orienting these or threading them. And then when you're done.
You put the pineapples on too, Tanya. Forgot to mention those.
I thought I said pineapple after.
You said onions and the onions and peppers.
I thought I said pineapple after the onion is on top of the chicken. You put the pineapple and then pepper again, and then so forth.
We'll have to review the tape.
You have to have the pineapple.
You can't forget the pineapple. That makes it so good.
It really does.
How long do you put it on the grill?
So you put the grill on high, let it warm up like 15 minutes, and then put these on there like 6 minutes aside, and then you turn them around. And once that's done, you can flip them one more time for maybe one more minute, and then take it off and you're done. You turn the grill off so it's not running forever. But
do you guys use charcoal or do you use the electric?
We have a propane. Gas grill.
Ah, okay. I mean, yeah, that's meant. Is this something that's similar from your Serbian roots, Tanya?
Not really. It's just, you just like you can do this with vegetables or anything else. But the only thing really I think that comes from my love of Serbian food is probably the putting the peppers in the vinegar for a while.
And then. You know, the American food lover in me is the Cajun spice, and you can't go wrong with Cajun chicken. Who doesn't like Cajun chicken, right?
Oh yeah, the pineapple.
That just sounds like so amazing. But you know what? I can hear some of these people listening to the podcast go, "Wait a minute, aren't they blind? How? What do they do for safety?" Because people are like that. So, what kind of safety measures do you take when you guys are barbecuing?
Nothing tongs. That you wouldn't do.
Yeah, just use tongs. We have like an oven mitt that's resistant to heat pretty well, and you can feel through it, which is helpful. I think it was an Amazon.
Yeah, it's one of those Ove Glove brand.
I was just gonna ask you if it was an Ove Glove.
Yeah, we have those, and then we have some barbecue Pitmaster ones that come up to your
can't
elbow.
I can't feel anything in those, and they're huge. Yeah,
they're huge. They don't fit Tanya's tiny hands, so Tanya uses the Ove Glove.
It's like trying to wear a prosthetic, like not a prosthetic hand, but like putting a mitten on your hand.
On your hand, right?
Yeah, or like ski gloves and trying to feel through them.
Oh my God.
It's hard to feel. So I gave up on that. And I use the Ove Glove. And then those skewers that we have, they're metal and they're really sharp. So that's one thing you got to be careful not to stab yourself with those. But
you'll stab your thumb with them once or twice and you'll learn real quick not to do it.
Yeah, I just got to be careful. respect the skewers, but they're metal. And so you can lift them up like easily and flip them and they won't break, because we used to use wooden ones and they would break in half. And that was just such a pain to get the whole thing off the grill.
Wow. Well, that just sounds like such an amazing recipe. It sounds like every type of flavor mixed in. It just, I'm going to have to try that because it just sounds so good.
Now, yeah, if you can, you can also add tomato, cherry tomato, if you're a tomato fan, because nice. It's really good on the grill and it goes well with the rest of the combo.
And our garden produces, in addition to, you know, insane amounts of banana peppers, insane amounts of cherry tomatoes and zucchini about the size of your arm.
Zucchini, and eggplant, yeah.
All that will go on skewers too at some point in the summer, and
mushrooms, barbecue. Yep. Mushrooms are better done mushrooms? By themselves.
We do not grow them. We buy them.
Okay.
Buy them, yeah.
I was just wondering. I found a lot of wild mushrooms, but I'm not going to try them. You might not
hear me. Yeah, you don't know what you're getting there.
You know, there are clubs that go around and do wild mushrooming and do hunt wild mushrooms and eat them. However, I wouldn't recommend doing that without somebody very experienced, because...
Exactly. Mm-hmm. I want to come back and meet you guys in person, you know, and not just eat a mushroom and never show up again.
Yes. When you come visit, we'll make some skewers.
Well, that sounds amazing. We want to have you on the TV show version of us as well. If someone wants to reach out to you guys, how do they contact you?
They can just visit us at getbarrel.com and there's a contact us form, and we read all of our messages.
Yeah, they can also reach me at tanya@getbarrel.com. So that's tanja@getbarrel.com. And then we're on LinkedIn. We're on all the Facebook, LinkedIn.
Yeah, all the social media.
But we are definitely heavily involved on LinkedIn. So if anyone wants to reach out there, that's great too.
Yeah. And mention the podcast and we'll gladly accept your connection. And my email is simply mark@getbarrel.com. So
that's M-A-R-K. M-A-R-K.
Yes. Yeah. Spelled the right way with a K.
Well, anyone listening today can find their delicious recipe at our website at www.cookingwithoutlookingtv.wordpress.com. And you can find their recipe as well as many other recipes. Again, we are sponsored today by Blind United Interest Groups, Building Bridges, Closing the Gap, Making Connections. I want to thank you both, Tanya and Mark, for being here. I think I learned so much from you guys, and I am definitely going to try your skewers.
Yeah, we'd love to hear what you think about them.
Well, you guys, take care. And again, if you want to reach out to us, it's www.cookingwithoutlookingtv.wordpress.com. And as we like to say, we are changing the way we see blindness. And thank you for helping us do so today, Tanya and Mark. Have a wonderful weekend.
You as well.
You too. Thank you for having us.
Of course. Bye-bye.
Bye.